from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net podcast. My name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Jeffrey Jones.
Jeffrey Jones today is our very special guest.
He comes in
to give, every once in a while, to give his perspective on what is going on in the state of this world. He is a different perspective than Ryan, so
I do.
We're proud to have him today to discuss things that he feels passionate about. And, you know, I think it's important to feel passionate, just in general.
I think so, yeah.
You know, there are people out there, maybe they don't know or have anything to be passionate about. And I got to tell
they're
you, that is not a good position to be at. That is not good. You know what? When a couple of weeks ago, I think I would have said that I suffered from a large rash of panic attacks.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you finished with "of panic attacks."
Oh, well, thank you.
I suffered a large rash. Like, wow.
Jeffrey, must you now? I'm trying to finish this story.
Sorry. Okay. Go.
Okay. The point of that story was to say that upon learning that I was going to turn 30 years old, I think that I went through what everybody would call an episode.
Yeah.
You may have been experiencing the same thing, but in a different perspective.
Yeah.
Because you are 2 weeks older than I am.
I'm 2 weeks older, and unfortunately, I bought the myth that after you turn 30, like, you're dead to gay people. Like, it's gay death. It's fucking gay death.
Oh, God, did you hear? Jeffrey turned 30. He's not being invited to those sexy parties.
Exactly, those big sexy parties. I'm just glad I preserved all those years of gaming. Have preserved my skin, and I look like 22.
Really, honestly, the man has not seen sun for the majority of his life on this planet.
It's true, but I have a wicked Final Fantasy VII save file.
You still have that thing?
No, I lost the memory card. Can you believe that?
I can. These things get lost. Did you think that the information was going to be stored there forever?
I was hoping.
No, you're a fool.
I was going to name my first kid Yuffie.
You need to find something else other than that to sort of be proud of.
To not be remembered
a memory card. It was like, you would not believe this one guy. I think his name was Joffrey. Joffrey Jims. Anyways, he had the best save file. You see, this is what happens. The part they fuck up is your goddamn name.
Yeah, although looking back, I don't think that's the kind of thing I want to. Like, I don't want to blow my 15 minutes on video games. Like, I'm an internet celebrity. Hooray! Like, good on you.
Yeah, well,
the getting's good. Yeah. So your panic attack?
Yes. So my panic attacks had made me feel somewhat less passionate about a lot of things. I mean, maybe not atheism as much as everything else, but you know, still sometimes, you know, I'd be doing a podcast, and I'm like, man, I wish I was feeling more passionate about it. And I think it's just it's nice to be back to that area now that the panic attacks are gone, and then you realize, oh, that was just a phase. I, like everybody else, as rational as I think that I am just a fucking monkey.
Scared of death.
Right.
Yeah.
Just gotta get over that shit. Yeah. I can move over that hump. Move on with my life.
And have another one at 40.
Exactly. That's what I plan on. 40 years old, rolls around, new panic attack. Yeah.
Keep this podcast for posterity, and like, we'll play it in 10 years. We'll be like, oh, this is what I'm going through.
You know what? Now that I think about it, I have to wonder as I get older, just the sheer amount of stuff that I'm producing, that I'm going to be able to hear every second of it if I want to, which I probably don't.
I can't imagine it. I can't stand my voice.
By that time, anyways, if I produce this, if I have the same output that I have now, even if I just don't do more, it would be frightening by the time you reach like 70. Like, you don't have even time to just sort of run through it if you just spent a whole year just listening to yourself or trying to read yourself. You're like, I cannot spend that much time reading my own bullshit.
Especially like the early shit. Like,
especially
you're gonna look,
the
you're gonna look
shows.
Back on all this stuff, and you're gonna be like, "Man, I was this fucking amateur hour."
That is definitely how I feel now. I don't imagine how I'm gonna feel in many, many years. And you guys, you listeners, you're gonna be there the whole way through.
At least that's the hope.
That is the hope. That is the hope. Who knows how long I can keep doing an atheism podcast? I mean, are there an infinite amount of things to talk about? One day you kind of hope that you run out. Or that it's just much of a non-issue that they're like, well, we're shutting down Good Atheist, everybody. We won?
Exactly. I'm like, yeah, when you can stop the atheism podcast when there's world peace.
World peace or world acceptance of
world
gays,
world tolerance.
World tolerance. That sounds like a really doable
thing. That's a reasonable
goal. 2 or 3 years max, right?
I think we could do it in 6 months. Come on. Let's get her done.
Get her done, and then we can move on, and Good Atheist will become who knows what other loony projects.
Be the Happy Hug family.
Talking about nothing but how much I love hugs and how much the world
great.
Is... They are great.
Yeah.
Now, today on the show, I guess we're going to be all over the place. So if you're just wondering, what is the format of today's show and what are they going to be talking about? I'm like, sit back. Don't worry about that shit. If you're like, hey, are they going to talk about atheism-related stuff? You bet. This is the Good Atheist. So I can assure you that there will be plenty of talk of religion and what have you. But we're going to keep the style nice and loose, trying to get back into the vibe of just caring and feeling that shit. Now, there are a few things that you were talking about before that you were really starting to feel as you get out of the funk of playing nothing but Dragon Age.
Hey, Dragon Age is awesome.
Whatever. Now that you're out of the cloud of Dragon Age, you've been talking about some things that have been really upsetting you. I want you to repeat them for me and the listeners.
We're talking about the actual non-Dragon Age related upsetting things.
Yes, I don't want any Dragon Age related things. You can pick up Dragon Age at your local GameStop.
It's true, and the expansion just came out. Please give me money, EA.
Yeah,
one thing that's really fucking bothering me, and yes, it deserves the F-bomb, is the Catholic Church and their wonderful ability to... As readers of the site know, of course, there was this Catholic adoption agency that's like, we're going to shut down if you force us to...
This is in the UK.
In the UK, yeah. If you force us to allow for same-sex couples to adopt. And, of course, the England caved. Well, the UK caved, rather.
Those pussies!
Those Brits!
It's like, talk about puss now, guys.
Well, the thing is this is... This organization is really, like, as far as track records with children...
You mean the Catholic Church here? You're talking
about exactly.
The Catholic Church
in general? No, not gays and lesbians. I love gays and lesbians.
All of them. He loves you all.
I love you all. In fact, I want to feature you on Happy Hug Day when that day arrives.
Oh, boy.
The last person that I want in control of children is the Catholic Church. It's like...
I suppose they don't exactly have the best... history of taking care of kids. You can ask Ireland how they're feeling about that. How did it feel, all those Catholic charities taking care of your kids?
Yeah.
Oh, something horrible called the Ryan Report.
Yeah.
You know what actually is...
Names not released, but they're out there.
Yeah, it's a little bit... I don't know. I think what's hilarious is these days the Catholic Church has really found a new way to try to paint themselves as not being homophobic, but rather disagreeing with what gays and lesbians are all about. So it's saying, well, we don't want to infringe on anybody's dignity.
But you're
but
not
we just...
really married. Not
but
really a loving couple.
You are an abomination.
You're living a lie and you're making Jesus sad.
So... I think I'll tell you one thing. It is a testament to how I don't want to say politically correct, but actually I want to say more
it's
empathetic than we are. That we wouldn't accept open bigotry anymore. Now it has to be really cleverly masked and disguised in order to go through.
I don't find it that cleverly masked either. I think the whole thing is it comes back to the whole like, well, it's religious and we want to be tolerant. It's not. It's that tolerance seems to be like at one way street. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
Well, of course it's a one-way street. Do you think that their own belief system can tolerate a belief that is opposite to theirs?
No, exactly.
They
but,
cannot tolerate
but,
it.
But, like, I think it's ridiculous that the Catholic Church has this much... I mean, yes, they have a lot of... Like, I think it's ridiculous that they have this much clout. And the fact that they're using friggin' like they were using the soup kitchens during
in
the holidays.
D.C.
Yeah,
they threatened to close
exactly.
Soup kitchens.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and it's the same thing. It's like, we're not gonna help children if you let gays like adopt. You know, or if you force us to let gays adopt. I'm like...
Well, I didn't mince word when I wrote about it. I said, this is just sheer blackmail.
Well, that's it. It's like, you're using kids as a shield to protect your religion? Like, to protect your bigotry? Like,
I think the Catholic Church has obviously shown that they don't really care about kids. I mean, the Pope's apology letter basically says, sorry you got raped, everybody. Sorry you got raped. Sorry. And that nobody was listening to you. I'm like... weren't you the guy in the 1980s that was responsible to sniff out that shit to begin with?
Yeah.
And is it a coincidence that one of the guys that helped you become Pope also turned out to be the guy in Boston who was covering up that shit to begin with? Would he put a man that was obviously sympathetic to the fucking keep quiet and nobody talk about that shit policy that was literally described in a memo by Pope Benedict saying that you were not to talk to anybody, that you had to talk to church leaders first before even the authorities?
Yeah.
You don't get more hush-hush than that, folks. Yeah. That is the definition of hush-hush. That is shut your fucking mouth.
We'll deal with it. I'm using air quotes here.
And I mean, what exactly? The Pope issues this letter. I want everyone to understand that that letter is a gigantic slap in the face with a 2x4.
It's a big fuck you, is what it is.
It is a gigantic fuck you. They have no interest in providing any documentation they have. They want to bury this under the rug.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of sad that. You know, for me anyway, like, pedophilia has become synonymous with Catholicism. Like when I think Catholic, I think pedophile.
And you know, it's funny because
the Catholic Church
thinks that of you as well. There's definitely probably a kind of vilifying double rhetoric that exists on both sides. We won't deny our own prejudice against prejudice. Prejudiced against prejudice.
Yeah, I'm not even going to attempt to say that. It feels like a tongue twister.
Don't say it ever again. Yeah. I plan on never saying that ever again because it barely makes sense, but it kind of does.
Yeah, it's like I wasn't sure if it was a word.
Wow, I blew your mind. You did mention that you were feeling a little spacey these days.
I have been very spacey. I assume it's from the lack of eating and sleep and maxing out my rogue.
I would actually say that it is the latter. One of the things I was trying to explain to Jeff, who has been somewhat incommunicado for a little while, was that I think that if you ever feel unusual or weird or that you have trouble concentrating, might I suggest that the reason why that happens is that you might actually need to socialize more. The truth of the matter is, and this will be weird to say, but when you're engaged in social interactions with a lot of people, it's a very challenging thing for your brain to do, to keep all of these relationships going, to interact with people, to
remember names,
all these kinds of things. This is part of the human experience. You need others to be normal. So when you aren't with others,
thank you.
You're not normal. That's all. I'm just trying to be
You're
helpful.
An abomination, but it's not for the reason you think.
Look, I'm just trying to help you out. Ah, it's going to be a very special
took
show.
Took a turn!
Took a turn. All right, speaking of taking the turns, here's something else I wanted to talk about. Not that I want to, you know, move on from the fact that the Catholic Church sucks balls and is extorting the UK people.
Yeah, and children in a way. Well, not extorting, but...
In using them as a bargaining chip. Like a shitty divorced parent.
Seriously,
that's using you... In some kind of scheme against another parent, you're just like, this ain't right. Yeah. This ain't right.
Ugh.
Some of you may have felt that sting and suffered quite the negative reputation with your parent as a result. I mean, I don't think that they often realize that kids are smart enough to see through that shit.
Seriously, you should watch. If they haven't, there's a movie called The Squid and the Whale. I recommend you guys watch it.
The Squid and the Whale?
Yeah.
All right.
It's got Laura Linney in it. I like her. No, not Laura Linney. What's her name? Yeah, it's Laura Linney.
Okay, well, you're making a suggestion for something that has a real name, so...
Anyways, yeah.
Check it out,
Squid
people.
It's good. I like it.
Yes, but anyways, where was I going with this?
You were talking about the... Well, we were going to make... You were segueing into something else.
I
guess we kind of wrapped up the Catholic douchebaggery.
We did. It's quite douchebaggery, and we don't have to wallow in it that long.
Okay.
What I wanted to talk about was the other story that I got you to read about.
You're talking about the girl?
The young woman...
That's brutal. Did you listen to the...
Bibi Aisha. Oh. And she had basically had her nose and her ear cut off, I think in 2009, by the Taliban. The whole story goes something as follows. When she's eight, she is promised to a much older man, as is the custom.
Well, she was promised it was to settle a feud.
It was just, well, it's a tribal thing over there. Yeah. You have to understand, Afghanistan is not a country. Afghanistan is a shitload of tribes. And that's kind of the first lesson. So sometimes tribes war with one another, or they have conflict. And mm-hmm. like it's been in the most of the history of mankind, mm-hmm. the thing that you do is you marry off a daughter with a former, you know, rival in order to be able to unite the families. And that this is why also these marriages are typically so important.
Yeah,
because the trust of the clan that marries this person off is contingent on this marriage to go well. To produce good relations, because it's by no means a guarantee. You know, if somebody married your daughter, he could still kill all of you and your
kill your family.
It's just, it's one of the ways that you try to establish the bonds of trust. With that said,
can I say fucked up?
Yeah, well, you know, you would think, is this really necessary in today's modern world?
Yeah, I'm like, am I reading something from, like, the past?
It is the past over it there. Really, they just have advanced weapons. It's the past with advanced weapons. So anyways, she turned 16, and since her husband is off fighting for the Taliban in Pakistan.
Yeah, she doesn't meet, she's married to him, and I don't think she met him.
She had never met him.
Yeah.
She had never met the man. She was basically left in the custody of the father-in-law, who she says basically treated her like a slave.
Yeah.
You can probably understand why. I mean, they probably don't like that other family. The marriage is probably one of extreme convenience. I mean, it's not like the guy rushed back home to have sex with his wife.
Yeah.
Who knows what the hell the politics behind that are. So basically, her life is miserable. She decides to try to escape.
Well, she confides in, like, these neighbors, right?
She finds these two sympathetic women who apparently say they're going to help her out, but in turn actually end up trying to sell her to another man. Which is when the whole some sting operation that was seemed like it was going on, everybody gets caught. She gets thrown in jail for running away. The sentence at the time was 5 years, but for running away.
I thought it was the kidnappers who got 5 years.
No.
She got five years for running away.
Though that was... No, sorry, 3 years in jail running away. Oh, it's only three, right?
Well, it's fine.
But it ends up being only 5 months when the president, Hamid Karzai, gets into power and essentially...
Like, says, okay.
Says your prison time is done. Presumably from international pressure from the West concerning, like, probably lots of other similar and very fishy shit that's probably going down there as we speak. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, but the escape is no good. Her husband is there to greet her and brings her to a Taliban court, which finds that she is guilty of embarrassing the family.
Yeah, shaming.
For shaming them. And as a retort, her nose and ears are to be cut off, and she is to be left for dead.
Well, yeah, wasn't the intention to leave her dead in the desert or
pretty
whatever?
Pretty much, yeah. She survives.
Somehow.
Somehow. And she's an inspiration behind sort of this organization that is working there. They estimate, I think, was it Amnesty International or the organization itself, whichever one, estimate that about 90% of women in Afghanistan suffer from some form of abuse.
I don't doubt it.
You can imagine that. You know, we're shocked from such things because we're like, how is this possible in this day and age? I'm like,
it's not
this day and age everywhere, folks.
Yeah.
It really is not. This civilized world that you've become, I don't know, way too accustomed to is not something that is really shared by absolutely everybody.
Yeah.
Not everybody has the same values.
Yeah, there's a lot we take for granted.
There is a lot we take for granted. And I think that the people that are involved in it that end up winning, that you say... It's got to be a sweet gig for some people in order for this to be instituted like this. And I will have no doubt that the guys probably feel that it's A-okay.
Well, of course.
And who doesn't when they're in power?
They don't have to worry about dating.
But I think that the best mark of whether or not your society is a good place is if the ones with no power still think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
And if they don't, if they're being abused, that is not a sign of anything other than the fact that you are a totalitarian, oligarchian, misogynistic hellhole, Afghanistan. Congratulations. You are a hellhole for women. 90% of your fucking population is being abused. I mean, of your female population being abused. Holy shit.
That's a big statistic.
That's like, that's like 40% of just your population.
Yeah. No, it's ridiculous. It's like, I was, there's a link to the video off of your website, and I watched it, and it's friggin' like hurt. It's friggin' heart-wrenching to like see this, and it's like, how can someone do this to another human being? I don't even understand it. Like, how do you, I can't in my brain calculate, not calculate, but fathom how someone could be brought up to think that that's okay.
I think the way that it happens, like, I'll tell you what I think.
Okay.
I think the reason why that happens is because if you watch a video of someone falling down the stairs or getting hurt, a lot of times what will happen is that at first, if this is the first thing you've ever seen, you will empathize a lot with that pain, and it'll be really hard for you to watch it.
Yeah.
But over time, you will stop empathizing with people that are just on the screen. You realize these are not actual real people. These are just, this is a memory of what had happened before, images of what happened before. And you can kind of separate yourself from that a little bit. Although you may still feel some degree of empathy towards them.
It's kind of the same with watching horror movies. I know, like, in a way, like, you know, like, when you're young and you first start watching them, they're ridiculously scary, and then you start watching them again and you're like, this is nothing. But I would hate to think that we would be like that with real...
Yeah, but, I mean, like, here's the thing, though. I mean, going back to the movie analogy, is that the stuff that we watch, you would have a different reaction if you watched somebody get hurt if at the end I told you that guy died.
Yeah.
You would take less enjoyment out of what you watched.
Yeah.
And in all these other videos, you're obviously under the impression these idiots are going to be all right. Yeah. And that's the final empathy of caring what happens to the individual
after that
event. Now, if you can train yourself out of empathy in a particular situation, say just watching it on TV, to then watching it in person, to experience that it yourself, and to be able to slowly but surely de-empathize with the pain of other people, this is how people will slowly, be able to become monsters. I mean, it is the cool thing about it, though, and you can see that in a lot of countries where children become soldiers and then go back to sort of being regular people, is that that state, that psychotic no empathy state, is not a permanent state. It is not a natural state for us to be in. You can come back from that when you start to learn how to empathize with people again. And that's not impossible. It's just that people need to be forced in situations where they can have empathy and where that where the impulse to have it is rewarding, that you find reward in having empathy for people. And if you don't, well, then you can probably become a cold-blooded killer bastard
in no time flat.
And you know what? You definitely have to be that to do such barbaric things. I mean, do they not know that these are human beings like them with the same feelings, the same pains that they have? Like, do you want to cut your own fucking nose out and be left to die in the desert? How would that feel? It might not feel so good.
Yeah. No, it's the same thing. But it brings us back to the main point. I mean, it's kind of a moot point because, I mean, regardless of my inability to comprehend that kind of inhumanity, it's still happening. But it's like, it's the same thing. It's just like, it's monstrous.
Well, it's great that we have such incomprehensibility towards it, but we cannot allow that to make us forget that such monsters really do exist.
Oh, no, it's not. I'm not at all saying this shit should, like, pass. This shit flies. Like, not at all. Not at all. This is friggin' terrible and barbaric. I'm just saying, I still can't get it. Like, I can't wrap my head around it.
Let's hope you never have to.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, you know, that's a good thing. That's a good thing not to get. Like,
yeah, to not have that weird killer instinct. I need to, you know, rape and pillage.
You've shamed me, so I am going to brutally scar your face forever.
Yeah.
And somehow that makes us even.
We're even now.
Even Steven.
Yeah, this story I found to be completely and utterly tragic, which is why I mentioned it on the podcast. I realize that most people who listen don't normally have the time to visit the site.
Yeah.
I'm trying to wrap my head around the idea that maybe re-explaining what I'm writing about might be a good idea for some of the people. I mean, it's hard to get atheist news, and a lot of people are just deciding to download podcasts to get informed. I can be slightly more informed. I've just always put sort of like the emphasis on just you know, providing even more content. I didn't want to just repeat what I was saying on the blog, right?
Maybe like a weekly, like, good atheist cliff notes.
Maybe. Yeah. I suppose we can...
bullet points. Like, just in case you're wondering, this is the shit that went down.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I don't think fans realize this that much, and especially patrons may not realize it, is that I'm always willing to listen to you guys in terms of suggestions that you have for the show, stuff that you'd like to hear. I'm committed to improving the show on a lot of different levels. Mm-hmm. The truth is that I may be a victim of my own success, where people are like, love the show, keep it up.
<You're> like, and then you're like, nothing needs to
change. And
you're
changed. Like, well, okay, then we will change nothing, I guess.
It is perfect.
Right. So definitely I know that there's some people who don't feel that way.
Yeah.
Who may feel that they still love the show, or they love us, or who knows what. But I'm definitely willing to entertain some ideas and some suggestions for you guys. Another thing I'm going to be working on once I get back from North Carolina, which is which I'm going down the weekend of the 7th.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be there to give I guess it's not the weekend of that. It's I think it's a Monday. Anyways, I'll have the dates up on the site, and I'll mention it on...
And the time will be correct.
And the time will be correct this time. I'm going to mention it elsewhere once I'm ready to go. And
right.
Like next week, I'm going to give the details for it. But after... After that, I want us to actually start making videos.
Okay.
I feel to some degree this is the one aspect that I have neglected on the most. Yeah. Mostly because I feel like I have a face for radio, but also...
Bah, just shoot it in like low def.
I'll shoot it in,
it in low def and...
I'll wear shades.
Wear sunglasses. I like it. It's the cool atheist news.
Or maybe
rad to the max.
I'll put putty... So that I have a more square jawline. Maybe that'll fix things.
Yes, yeah, so you'll have stubble, and then you'll have super clear putty.
Well,
on the
I'm
corner.
Gonna shave. I'm not gonna look like a bum. I'm looking like a bum now.
Dude, no, you look like a philosophy major. Yeah, not that there's no overlap.
That is a bit. I do look about that level of bummy, don't I?
Yeah, yep. You're like I'm, yep. I have a home. I'm just not well stocked in the medicine cabinet.
There you go. It's kind of like the look you have when you spend most of your day thinking.
Yeah.
It'll happen. That'll happen. You'll be one of those weirdos.
Especially with the shades.
The weirdos with the shades. So I want to start doing a couple videos. One thing that I do want that I did change is that there's now a contact email right on the site.
Yeah,
so
I noticed that.
So if you're just like, hey, how do I get a hold of him? All right, literally one of the fans of the site was like, here's how you put that up now, cut and paste this. I mean, I wasn't going to just ignore that email.
See, he accepts suggestions.
I do.
Give him CSS code and...
Make it, you know what, here's what it is. Make it easy for me. You know, there is a lot going on in the background, too. Yeah. I mean...
Well, it's just you and Ryan.
It is just us, too. So it's difficult for us to produce as much content as we do. Yeah. I know that sometimes it doesn't feel like that much with you, but it is not the only site that we have. We make two more podcasts a week for a completely different site. So we actually have to produce a lot of these. So if you have suggestions or ideas, things that you want to talk to us or you want us to talk about...
Yeah.
Help me out a little bit here. I know that the number one complaint has always been, there's no research. I'm like, hey, guys, I have a suggestion for you. If you do a little research on a little topic and you send it to me, I will cover that on the show. It's amazing. And I would appreciate your help. And that's what I'm saying. I'm committed to getting the show back on track, improving, moving forward. That's where my life stands now. I mean, that going to give that conference thing is really... It's a bit of an eye opener for me in terms of I want to just put more involvement and I want to do more of these things because I think it's going to be fun. I when I came back from Calgary and I had hung out with some of the fans, it was great. You know, being able to connect with people and talk and talk to them about some of the things they thought of or their stories about how they became atheist or why they listened. They're all fascinating to me, and it's something I want to continue. So I want to up the degree of interaction that I have with you guys, which is why I tried also the live show.
That was actually I liked that, but yeah, it's got a question, guys.
Again, I think it's also one of those victims of your own success where someone's like, "Oh, I'm going to call in," and then you're like, "Hey, dude, hi, hey, just wanted to talk." And I'm like,
You know what I think the next one you do, because I do think you should do it again.
Yeah.
I think what you should do is instead you should have talking points, much like we're doing now.
Yeah.
Except open it up to the audience.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, it's like, what is your say on?
Yeah, it's not so much a question that I want people to have. More of a, because the first time you do it, you're like, well, it'll be a question show. But after that,
you were winging it, from what I understand. I mean, it was good, but from what I understand, it was pretty spontaneous. Like, hey, let's try this.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It's just trying new stuff and seeing how you guys respond, what you like, what you don't like. So, I am trying to experiment with things. I want things to continue to improve.
Yeah.
And I definitely want people to. It's part of the way that I do my sales pitch is that I'm trying to improve the show, even the free one. So, so therefore, when I turn around at the end, annoyingly asking, "Hey, give me $20 a year for all
the show."
If you're a fan of the show, there is a bonus show for $20 a month.
Are we just getting that out of the way now?
I'm getting that out of the way now. I'm getting meta.
You're getting meta?
I'm getting meta here.
Oh, okay.
I'm complaining about the pitch while making the pitch.
I like it.
It's very meta.
There you go.
I'm trying to keep
work it with your shades, with your cool shades.
And you know, now I can't go back because we just have to keep it real. So hopefully they got all the details there that they need to. Otherwise,
if not,
they
I'm
could
sure
go
they'll
to the
hear it again.
Site or something.
They could go. Could visit this website.
Could get details or something. Yeah. Anyways, keeping it real. Keeping it real. Yeah. You know what? I think that we're actually going to wrap up the show.
Sure.
And we're going to catch everybody on Thursday for the bonus show. So we're back to the regular schedule, everybody. I know people were emailing me saying, like, the bonus show only goes back to February. Is everything okay? Which is the first little tugs of people saying, like, they are suddenly asking for their crack. Yeah. And you're not providing this crack. What I wanted to sort of say broadly out there was just that in the past week, I guess we were working on what our plan is when I came back from Cali,
our
plan is for the next 4 months.
Right.
That was a really long discussion on our part. So we had to take some time off. We're back to regular schedule, though, so you guys can breathe once again. You're like, the shows are coming back at regular pace. Ah.
Must be a nice warm feeling to be a dealer.
To be a dealer, I know, eh?
To be an
comes
AJ's
over to
dealer.
You and they smoke your crack and then they're like, "Thank you," and you're just
Thank
like,
you.
"You know what? I made somebody happy today. I gave them crack. I'm a good man."
No, I think actually no. See, religion is more like the drug, I would say. So what's the opposite?
What's the opposite?
Atheism
of
is my anti-drug.
I really don't know.
I think I just tortured that metaphor.
You did.
Yeah.
You ruined the show.
I ruined it for everybody. I come back after like 4 months off, and then it's like,
you're fired.
Damn it.
Or we can get audience participation. Would you like Jeffrey to be fired?
To
press
fire,
one.
To fire Jeff. Dial one now.
That's what I'm going to decide to do. Yeah.
That's what you're going. You're leaving my fate up to the audience.
No, I'm not that cruel. Come on now. I'm a warm, fuzzy...
I would like to think
I'm
your audience
warm,
isn't that cruel.
I'm a warm and fuzzy dealer, and I deal the crack. Okay, with that, my name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Jeffrey Jones.
Have a good atheist day, crackheads.
Cheers.